All right, guys, welcome to another episode of The Drop. I know the voice sounds different. It's a new host. It's your boy DJ Genesis all the way from Miami taking over the reins. We're going to give Andre, the CEO, a break a little bit. He wants to sit in the background and take notes, you know, like a teacher in the background giving grades. So it's my turn. I'll go ahead and run the ship this weekend. I'm kind of excited, man. I'm kind of hyped to be here with the crew. Of course, my Miami crew, Camney, Camellia, Jensine. How you guys doing? Cam, what's up? Camellia, let me not get in trouble.
Yes,
Camellia, what's up? We talked about this. Yeah, we did. I'm learning. What's up, Camellia?
All right, what's up, Dre from the UK? What's up, Chris, Jensine, and Cammy?
Everybody
from the
Jen, all day. Jen, what up?
Well, I'm just like still beating myself up that I wasn't able to make it to the yacht on Sundays. Yeah, like, you know, when you live in Miami, you get invited on the yacht quite a bit, so it's okay to not jump on it.
I don't know, Dre. I was telling the story a little earlier. I mean, I called them. It was an hour before the yacht left, but I just say you should still make it. I understand it was a little inconvenient, but, you know, next time I'll definitely do them a whole lot better.
It's inconvenient.
I would have walked on there in my pajamas. Like, there's nothing that would have stopped me at all.
You can't do Miami yachts like that, Dre. You can't do Miami. You got to be there with your hot boy or your hot girl suit on.
They see that? So I got a little beat up. I got the text messages. Oh, man, you should have gave me some more time. I understand. See, the weather's beautiful here. The women are beautiful. So, you know, that takes a little bit of time to get around. So I was on some BS this weekend by inviting them late. So I'm going to go ahead because there's a lot of BS that goes around today. We got Instagram. We got a lot of social media and a lot of people just are clout chasing. So I know we are always scrolling and we're laughing a lot of things because a lot of people, we see a lot of things that, you know, don't really hit. So I want to know from the crew, you know, what are some of the things that people say or spout out that is complete BS, yo? Complete BS. The comments is BS. You see it under a post is BS. I'm going to go to Cammy first. Cammy, I know you got some BS. You can call out some BS right now. So I'm going to go to you and start this one off.
All right. I have one and I'm guilty of saying this to people, but I honestly don't believe in it. And it's you don't know until you try, which... You did something you don't need to try. Like, you don't need to try heroin. We know how that's going to go. Like, you know what I mean? You don't need to get, I don't know, really drunk and then do, I don't know, bungee jump. I don't think that would go well. You might throw up all over the place. So there's some things, like, you don't need to know. You don't need to try just to know. You know how it's going to go. Just go do it.
Are you more like learn from other people? That's a good one. I'll go on and Camellia, we start off hot. Camellia, what you got?
All right. So another BS quote that people spout is the first impression is the lasting impression, which for me, that is completely wrong. My first impression when I meet new people can be very awkward and it's not me. I stutter, my hands get clammy, I sweat, I don't know what I want to say, but give me a second chance, I can get it together.
All right, Jen, you got one?
Yeah, okay, so it's, and I've heard this, like, ever since I was little, how you treat others is how people will treat you, and that is BS, because I be treating people good, and I don't be getting the same stuff back sometimes, so that's BS.
Oh, man. Oh, so you're BS on that. You're saying that people use you more than you treat them well and they treat you back well. That's what you're saying?
If I bring you some dessert and y'all ain't bringing the dessert back, I'm just
sorry. I know, I was talking at me. Not to me. She's talking about me, guys.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. All right, Cammy, we know what we got to do.
Wait,
right,
Dre, get it.
Yeah.
Get in there.
My one. Well, I actually, I forgot my star one that I was thinking. Oh, that was a good one today. But I'll spit out a couple just real quick. One is what goes around comes around. I don't believe that in any form of way because you know what? There's some people that just get away with stuff, and it just some things just go around and it never comes back to them. So I never understand that one. You know, there's another one where it's like, you know, people say like, you know, can't stop, won't stop, or team no sleep, which is absolute crap. You know, because at the end of the day, is that people who say that are the people that are just trying to have captions and they're saying that in the club with other people. There's many, many more, but I'm gonna let the girls go around again.
I got one.
Oh, you got one? Okay.
Cammy said I was gonna find one because I didn't really have one, but I think the golden rule to me is as close to Gen Z, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I don't think that's the golden rule. I think the golden rule is he who has the goal makes the rules. That's the golden rule that I grew up on. So I think that's the real golden rule versus the do unto others as you have them do unto you. I think he who has the goal makes the rules because that's what we live in exactly, especially here in America. I'm going to let y'all go ahead. Who got another one?
Oh, well, if you know you're from the islands or Caribbean person, you know this one. Their spirit don't tech me, which is like full of BS.
You don't like that?
Because I have met plenty of moms that were wrong about me, okay? So
wait, Cammy. The mom's spirit didn't take you.
Moms don't like me, and I can't help that. I mean, I'm not a dunce. I'm not out here using your child. Like, I'm not here beating him up. I'm not here talking crap about his family to you. Like, what more do you want? Y'all are wrong.
That is 100% a section.
The moms are delusional.
I just want to get this with Cammy. So you're saying the mom. So you're saying the moms are kind of like seeing you as a threat.
Delusional.
That's usually what it is. All right.
Maybe.
All right.
Or delusional about something. Maybe. I don't know what it is. It could be a threat. I didn't look at it.
I think both.
Like, but she has no like solid reason. Like. I said, like, I have manners. I say good evening when I come in. I am not, like, what more do you want from me? To, like, gossip with you? Like, I don't know.
You guys have,
that's what they want. That's what they want.
I told you guys. You guys have to smile more. Go ahead, Camellia.
Well, another famous one is don't judge a book by its cover. And I think we can all say that it's safe to say we can judge a book by its cover because a lot of people... If your vibes are wrong, or like Cammy said, my spirit don't check you, then I'm judging you. Okay, there's something off about you, and I'm judging you, and that's it.
Okay.
So all right. I have one, but it's true. Like calories in versus calories out, but it's just BS. Like, I want to eat what I want.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
To build up on that one, you are what you eat. I'm not an ice cream. Sweet like an ice cream, but I'm not an ice cream. Okay,
what?
I have a roasty belly though sometimes.
I don't know where Andre's went.
I am what I eat. Never mind.
Okay, with that, Cammy, you are what you eat. People say that because they want to see what I think they're playing around with perception versus reality. If you really think about that, you are what you eat. You're gonna if you eat fatty foods, you're gonna get fat. Is that perception? Is that reality? And that's how we're going to move on to our next subject. I'm going to go ahead and have Cammy go ahead and...
Let me come in with my last one.
I'm sorry. I thought you didn't have any more, Dre.
I actually remembered. It was something I say to Chris all the time. They say, oh, you know what? Life is too short. No, it ain't. Life is long, especially if you make the wrong decisions. Life is long. People in jail, people in bad relationships, people who just don't like other people, people in a bad job, people are broke. Like, you know, life feels like every day feels long to them. So yeah, definitely made the wrong decisions. Life ain't short.
And since I'm gonna get in my last one, I'm gonna say that one that says life is short, or you live once. No, you live every day. You die once, but we live every day.
Facts.
So I think that's BS also. All right, so back to our perception versus reality. That was Cammy's topic of the week. I was trying to slide that in nicely, but Dre just took him.
I'm sorry.
He's like,
I'm sorry.
I need to get mine. I thought my segue was nice.
That was nice.
So we're going to go ahead. So again, perception versus reality. I think this is a good topic that a lot of people are kind of confused about. So I just want to, this was Cammy's topic that she wanted to talk about. I want her to expound on it a little bit for the Drop family.
Right. So we all as individuals have our perceptions, which alters our reality. So what we see through our own eyes, or we'll call it our lens, is different from what maybe Gen Z will see. So her reality or your reality might be different from mine. And it's usually from your personal experience. Race also plays a factor. Your, you know, what socioeconomic class you're in. also cognitive biases also play a role in this. And does it mean that it's any less real to that person? You know, like whatever world you're living in and how you're living it, and then Jensine's world might be different. It does, is it any less real for like what you're saying to her when you kind of are explaining something that maybe happened at work and maybe you felt like some sort of bias towards you? Like I have, like, you know, where I work is predominantly Hispanic. So you kind of feel like, cause I'm out of like the entire like company, like in Miami, there's only two Indians, you know, and everybody else is Hispanic. So my perception, and it could have a negative impact on you, which I'm going to get in. It can keep you in like, it can keep you as a negative person. So that's another thing too, because if I would like focus on that, okay, like they're, you know, Cuban, they're going to get along differently. How they speak to each other versus how they speak to me is going to feel different because I'm not, you know, a Hispanic person. Right. So I feel like I can't get away with certain things. So my perception is that, okay, well, what goes for them doesn't go for me. And that's the reality I live in at work. Like, it's just not going to go, the same rules don't apply to me. But right. Some people use it as an excuse to stay ignorant. So what do you guys think?
So just to push back before I get the other crew in, I just want to get Cammy to clear up a little bit more about her situation so we can have a little bit more to talk about. So in your situation, you feel obviously it's predominantly Hispanic and your perception is, so your reality is that they don't communicate the same way with you as they do themselves. So you're saying that is now your reality. Yeah. So what is your reality from that perception? Now your reality is they're not kind. I feel indifferent.
No. It's like the rules don't apply the same way to them as it does for me in this setting.
Okay.
Like some people can get away with murder, but I would be going to jail for murder and they would get away with murder. But this is just a very like a
privileged type situation.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Jensine, jump in.
Okay, so, and I think Cammy brings up a really great point of perception is reality. And that's a saying we've heard, you know, we just got off of quotes of things we've been always hearing. But I think we're in a very interesting time right now because we have technology, and with the way that companies are working with algorithms, and this is stuff that I've been studying and it's in marketing and it's tied into money. Mm-hmm. Technology and social media and other various like search engines are making perception an actual reality. So it's not so much where it used to be where we would just think it and we would think that, and then maybe we would find another person we would interact. But now it's like when you open your phone, whatever you think, your phone is trained to always make it that you're right. So that becomes a person's reality. So that in itself is making people think that they're always right because they have justification with other social media groups, whether it be different groups they're a part of, whatever they're following. The ads are tailored to the way that they think. So they're always going to be right because they feel like that's the world. And when you go and interact with another person that may have a different reality or a different perception, you automatically think that that's incorrect. And what's happening on a broader scale, I think that's contributing to a lot of the polarization we're seeing with race, with politics. And now what we're seeing is a clash. And I think what Cammy's seeing is kind of like on a smaller scale within a work environment. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Camelia?
Well, actually, when we were kind of going over this topic the other day, it made me kind of think of like my personal relationships, whether it be with my mom, my sister, or like boyfriends or whatever. It did make me seem like if I'm coming towards somebody with something of how I felt, but they want to kind of, you know, dismiss it because they're like, oh, well, that didn't happen. Well, I didn't say it that way, but obviously that was my perception, which obviously became my reality. That's something like it made me think about something like that. Like if you're going in a relationship and I'm going to my boyfriend saying that I felt a certain way, I felt a lack of this or something else, and they want to say, well, I did this and this for you, that's their reality. So technically they can't be wrong either, right? And I think that's and your perception and what eventually becomes your reality is where I feel like you need to communicate to, like how what's going on in your life so people can understand. Like, for instance, like who I work with right now, and I'm renting a room from her, and there's a lot of issues that's been going on. So my side of the story is I feel like I do everything respectfully. I don't do anything to step on her toes. I don't do anything to make it feel like I'm taking from her. I try to put my best foot forward and support her as much as I can. But a lot of the backlash that comes back to me is her, well, why are you booking this client and secretly hiding this? And like secretly, she's using terms like secretly, or she comes to me and she uses stuff like, did you take from this? This box is open, like secretly, like trying to say that I'm stealing or something. So mm-hmm. I'm like, well, maybe after we talked about this topic, perception is perception reality. It made me think about how she would come to me. Maybe that is her perception of me. Maybe she really feels like I am stepping on her toes. So this actually made me think a lot about like my relationships with people too. And I wanted to add,
okay.
No, Genesis, you made a good comment about privilege. And I feel like that's a very key term, what perception is reality. Because when we look at like white people versus Black people in America, I think we can see that white people don't think Black people go through a lot. Like white people are like, well, you're free in America, go to another country and see if you can do that there. Like they don't think Black people have
the definitely. Yeah, right. Because their view, their perception on what America is for them is different from what Black people feel.
This is what they're going through. Anyways, right. I want to say big ups to Disney because the Falcon and the Winter Soldier did a good topic on that. And
it was amazing. I wanted to talk about that, but I don't know if everybody saw it. But that's what inspired me for this
good perception of Black America. It was well done.
Yes. Don't say anything, Camille. Don't say anything.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next subject with everybody.
That's it. No more. That's all I'm saying.
With everybody. Yeah. So still on the subject of perception versus reality, I'm going to bring in the media guru who has to, she almost has to create a reality of perception or perception of reality, or however you want to say it. I'm going to go ahead and talk to Dre, who's in marketing right now, because obviously he has to make things look probably as good as they are, or probably a little better. So I'm going to go ahead and get his point of view when it comes to perception and reality, obviously from a marketing standpoint and what he sees generally in our everyday life, man. Take it away, Dre.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting what you guys are all going through individually, and they are so similar, even though it's different situations. But I think for me, like work-wise, you know, it's really interesting that, you know, you have to market yourself. People buy you as an individual more so than the company. So where years ago, when I started Verge 10 years ago, now almost 11, then it used to be about your company, how it looked and all those types of things. But then now it's like people buy people. So what they're doing is they're like, let's say, for example, if my Instagram doesn't show that I'm doing stuff, then the perception is that we're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. You know? And the reality from that will be that we ain't going to get as much money. So some of the problem is that you, even when you're not in the mood, you still have to find things to be able to just post, because you still have to be showing what you actually are doing, which isn't like, there are some people that like pretend that they're on holiday or they allude that they're somewhere else or anything like that. Like we, fortunately, we're very blessed to be able to be doing like really cool stuff every day. But it doesn't mean that I want to post it every day, because I don't want the perception of me to be as I'm a show off. Oh, look at him stunning. You know, look, you know, because obviously negativity is the first thing that comes from, you know, people majority of the time, unfortunately. And you know, a lot of the times it's like there are some people that cheer you on, cheerleaders, so forth, which is great. But then there'll be other people like, oh, well, look, he's just showing off. Oh, he's in a Ferrari. Oh, I bet that's not his. Like all of these types of things that we do for us to be able to kind of showcase to the brands, the account managers, the PR people, all of those types of things that are going to be like, shit, those guys at Verge are doing some serious stuff all the time. Let's give them more business because they don't need our money. Where it's followed with the other people that are like, oh, showing off again. You know,
right. So it's all a catch-22, you feel? It's like,
yeah, I don't, I mean, this is something that Chris and I have been through for a long time, but like, I am particularly can't win, so therefore I've had to elect not to care. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's just to put these things down as memories. But then obviously I could be putting up dope stuff every single day, but then also I have to balance it by putting pictures of my kids up, family, all these other things as well. Because you are in control of your perception of what everyone else sees. I don't know if you guys are agreeing, but like, you know, that's first world things, but when you're running a problem, when you're running a business, then it becomes quite real, you know, with what you're
thank you.
Do.
Thank you so much for that corporate answer, Mr. Dixon.
That was a great answer.
Great answer. Let me just sum up this topic.
Wait, let me just sum up.
Let me get Jensine first. Cam, one second. I know Jensine has a point, but I also want to make a point that today we live in is where I know it says perception versus reality, but we have Instagram versus reality also, when people put these snapshots of like them looking busted versus looking amazing. I want to have your take on that and also the whole subject at large, Jen.
Well, I was about to kind of go into that a little bit, because I think we have all been in the same event, and how I think of the event, and then maybe I thought it was a good event and somebody else thought it was a bad event. And it's really interesting to see how we all can experience the same thing and think different things. And also what we're seeing on social media, to your point, for like an Instagram, you're just seeing a little snippet. So maybe one part of the party looked really cool and the rest was like crap. And people are going to be like, oh, that party was lit. And then you have that FOMO, like that fear of missing out, and like and picking up. And to Dre's point, that's when you're making things look maybe a little bit more appealing than what they actually are. So I just wanted to throw in that little point there that, you know, we can all be at the same thing, but everybody's going to have a different take on one certain experience.
All right. I'm going to get Cam in, and then Camille, you close us out.
Oh, all right. Well, I was going to close out with something. Glad Jensine said that, because it brings me to like a good point, like that we can look at perception as like, you ever look up a Google image and you click on the image to see it bigger, but it like looks pixely before it fully like it gets clear. So we can call perception the pixely blurry image. And then, but if we add, and that'll be my perception, the blurry image. But then as I get Dre's perception, then I'll get Jensine's. And then I'll get Chris's, and then I'll get Camellia's, and then I'll get the people at work's perception and whatever else perception. I think that picture, the perception becomes reality. Now you see the clear picture. That is what I would call reality, is when you see the picture full on clear, not the blurry. We're going to call the blurry pixel photo the perception. Because I think it makes it real when you get everybody else's perspective. Then you get reality, and reality is what is, not perception, where it's an interpretation. That's what I just wanted to say.
But do you think that, just before you guys close out, do you not think that it's nearly impossible for you to be able to get everyone, you know, for you to be able to get the reality of any situation unless you are there yourself?
You know, no, so let's say, for example, you have to be there. You have to live it fully. But, you know, I think people's like experiences, like if the perception of who I am, if somebody would get it,
I have to see you and know you quite well. So it's nearly impossible for anyone to do that.
Yeah, I think it would take time. And when I say that, is like you really wanting to know, like ask the right questions, because it's really what you want to know. Like I can't sit down and tell you about myself. That's again my perception of myself and how you're going to interpret it. Whereas if you ask me what you really want to know, like that deep stuff, and what do I think, and like, what do you think about this? Sometimes it's something like totally out of the box, but it kind of gives you a different perception of me. Like, because some people would think, okay, she doesn't smile, she's unapproachable, she's probably not nice. But then I have great conversations with people when they do, I don't know, I guess get the courage to come up and talk to me. Like I've made friends, like, and had really great conversations with people, you know, like, so.
I'm just saying that. You know, go ahead, Cam. We'll close this out.
Yeah, because I'm just saying, like, whatever you want to, like, whatever you perceive, you need to be the one to ask the question to fix what your perception is. Like, it can't be the other person saying everything else. And then you like trying to alter your perception. It's your job to change the perception. It's your own perspective you need to change. It's not anybody else's job to do that.
Well, my little tidbit on this. I love all you guys' take. I thought you guys did an amazing job of love take. I just say perception is reality until you know the truth. Full stop. You know, when you know the truth, then you can't really have that perception of the reality. Now you know the truth.
Well,
so
Chris, you know Miami culture. You know in Miami, you can fake it till you make it. So they're going to put off this, try to develop this fake reality. Like they got this. And like Dre said, they ain't trying to be humble. They're boldly driving around in their Ferrari and they don't care. This is what they want us to think of them. That's Miami culture.
True. And that, yeah, I think that's a whole other thing now. That comes into a person's whole persona and whether they like the whole fake it before they make it. And I think that, that gets into them. So I appreciate that. Conversation was amazing. We're definitely going to bring this one back up as the round table was popping. But as we move on, Jensine has an amazing topic that she brought to us. Comes along the lines of support and friends in business and entrepreneurship. Jen, take it away, man.
Well, I was going to say in general. So here, I've been friends with you, I don't know how many long. I feel like I've known you forever. And then Cammy and Camelia, like we definitely like grew up together. We've been friends for over 20 years. So maybe, and then going back, alluding to, you know, the perception is reality. I need to know, because that whole, you know, like the Miami culture is fake it till you make it. I've been seeing like on Instagram, like, this is my best friend, happy birthday to you. Like, I'm gonna support you. They've always been so supportive, but they were just talking crap like 6 months ago. So my question is, what is the proper way to support your friends? And then like, who is your friends? So I need to know.
Go ahead, Cammy.
One proper way you can support your friends is when you're in a fight, you don't go lava your mouth all their business to that other girl. Like, that's one thing you don't. If they're truly your friend and you get in a fight, your first instinct shouldn't go say all their business and all their secrets to somebody else. Then you weren't really their friend. So don't ever do that. Right. That to me is like, you are a grimy, disgusting person if you do that.
So I agree.
Okay.
Well,
Dre, Camille, you're running in.
Oh, no, I was going to just jump in from a business perspective. You know, as somebody who's trying to like build my own business,
yes, ma'am.
I can say like one way friends or even family can show support is by, you know, sometimes paying full price. Don't be always asking me for a discount. Like, I mean, and honestly, when you're a close friend or your family, I don't mind giving you discounts, but sometimes it's just like, maybe surprise me. Like, oh, you know what? What's your actual price? I don't even think some of them know my actual price. They're so used to further discount. Like, surprise me. Be like, what's the actual price? Oh, here you go. Well, thank you. Or even like, I feel like because I'm family or a friend, they don't want to tip me, but you know, they get another service done by somebody else in the beauty industry and they can easily give a tip. But I'm like, well, why can't you give me a tip? I don't cut corners with their service. I give them I would treat them how I treat any other clients. I feel like I deserve a tip too. So, you know, I feel like it's a great way to support.
There's another one?
Like, yeah, you know, like it's hard to get likes and stuff on Instagram. You know, Instagram is all about getting an algorithm, making sure people see your posts. Like an easy way, like if you don't have money to support me, I completely get that. But you could go and double tap and like my photo or send a comment or something, right?
Share it or whatnot.
That's easy. Yeah, exactly. That's all I'm asking.
I was gonna say, because I've been Camelia's client since day one, and I was guilty. I was guilty until she said something. Because you know what? You think like you know the person, and you're feeling like you're supporting. Again, perception is reality. But I'm glad she had said something, because I'm like, you know what? I am supposed to be supporting your business, so I'm glad that you told me, so I can go in and tip and share on social media. Because sometimes we don't know. So this is a good reason why we're having this conversation, because really you want to support your friends and sometimes people just don't know how.
Oh, but speaking of don't know how,
we've been very supportive. So thank you.
Yeah. But speaking of don't know how, or speaking of don't know how, but like, what if your friend is like, they have a business, but they're not good at it? Like, what if they have like, they're cooking or selling food or a restaurant and then the food don't taste good? Am I obligated to buy that food when I don't like it?
No, but a great way to be supportive though, Cammy, a great way is to be honest with your friend. Like, if you got a friend that can't rap, but they trying to be a rapper, tell them they can't rap. Like, that's a good way to be a supportive too. Tell them the truth.
No, I'm not going to break anybody's dreams. I'm going to be like, you know what? I will post this song, but I'm going to, after 24 hours, it's going to disappear.
I'm going to jump in before the big CEO jumps in when it comes to supporting friends and family, because he might rant about that. So I'm going to go to Camellia's point in terms of like paying full service, because as an entrepreneur myself and a DJ, we cross this all the time when it comes to friends and family wanting your service and not wanting to pay full price. So I totally understand. So what I think that really is sometimes is the entrepreneur mentality sometimes versus the 9-to-5er who is working for a big company and used to get discounts, and then the entrepreneur who needs every single dime. You understand what I'm saying? Like, somebody that works for a company, especially if you're budgeting, whatever, everything is to cut a corner. Everything is to get the cheapest price, to get the lowest worker or whatnot, see how less of an incentive I can give a worker. You know, like, everything in corporate America is tight to the vest. Whereas an entrepreneur, we need every single dime and every client is important to us. So I think sometimes there's a miscommunication in terms of the money relationship that entrepreneurs and some friends and family have. And yes, and sometimes they feel, because we're entrepreneurs, we should be blessed and happy to just get their business because, hey, they could have went somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But I like what you did, Camellia. I think standing up and speaking up and saying your piece is very important for entrepreneurs. So people can understand our struggle and understand that we're not a company. We don't have a backing so that we can give you a discount. We don't have insurance. We don't have just a boatload of accounts that are just giving you $25 a month repeatedly. We need you. So, like, for instance, like Camellia said, that she I'm one of her clients, and I make sure I tip very well. I make sure that she's taken care of the percentage, because I, as an entrepreneur, understand. You understand what I'm saying? So I just want to think sometimes there's a disconnect between those that work 9-to-5 jobs and then obviously entrepreneurs who have to hustle for themselves. I appreciate everyone, but sometimes that conversation does need to be had.
Jen, I want to add another layer, because I see Dre is about to explode there, but before you go, add in another layer. You know, I think another, going back to like my original question, it was kind of like a two-part. I feel like sometimes these fake friends come around, and then when you're trying to come up, and like, you would know as a DJ, Chris, like they're like, oh, I know the DJ, I'm their friend, like, or they would expect a discount, but they're not really supporting. I don't think they're really being supportive, but then they expect something back. So like, how do you determine the two? Anyway, Drake, go ahead.
Go ahead, Chris.
Onto them. I'm a finisher. So what happens is at the beginning, the way you differentiate the two is by the individuals that are coming to support. So let's say I'm DJing a party and I know that I need the door, that meaning I need to support from the door to make sure that I can pay all my expenses, right? I am going to go ahead and try to promote to people that are going to spend and understand that. But I have to understand that not many people get that concept. They feel by showing up and being there and listening is enough support. So that is on the person. Again, back to Camellia's point, got to make it clear. Hey guys, I need you guys to spend this $10 to get in here, A, B, C, D, you know? And those that don't want to pay will understand that and possibly stay home. You just won't get their support. You know, your crowd might be smaller, you know, but you're going to get your support. So I think that's the way it goes, especially. And I feel as you get older in the game, people that are older tend to understand that support with money is very necessary to grown up adults. You know, when we're kids and we're 24, 25, still supported by mom and dad a little bit, you might not think about money support as important as physical or social media support. But as we get older, you know, Camellia, because we need that bread. I need that tip, right?
Yeah, man.
Dre, take us away.
I just want to say, just before I make my point, I was literally listening to you guys, and I actually forgot I was on the show because I was enjoying it so much. Oh, and it's wow. only when you guys said my name, I was like, oh shit, I'm on it. So, props to you guys, honestly. I'm, you know, my silence is means I'm really, really enjoying it. I think coming from a different side of it, because I, you know, work corporate, I was in corporate life for many, many years until I started my own shop. Then, you know, I did see, and Chris was there near the start of this, is that when I started Verge, like, you know, you wanted, like, all of the people that you help out who are gonna, you know, they're well connected, you wanted them to be able to just mention you and get you in through the doors and things like that. I think there's to support friends is literally sometimes it's a lot more times than not, it's the free stuff. So it's like, you know, let's say, for example, if Camila, we lived in the same country, and you know, someone's putting on an event and they need, like, you know, makeup artists or they need beauticians or anything like that, then I'll be like, oh, I know someone who could do that. Sometimes it's a suggestion, the support. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, and then another thing is, like, you know, if you guys are doing something on social media and you want that help, then you have to ask people. You know, you have to say, hey, right, do me a favor, I'm going to put up this post, but can you guys comment? Because if it's got 10 people commenting on it, it looks good for me. So can you do that? And even if it's the same 10 people, I will make sure that I go and comment on anytime you guys post something. I will be saying, that's dope or that's cool or whatever. Not because I'm just, you know, doing a soundbite, because I actually want to support. You know, I think there's things that you can ask for, but then there's some things that you can help monetarily by, you know, you're helping your friend without a discount, because you wouldn't be paying, you know, the same way if your friend's making a cap, then New Era make caps and you pay $30 for per cap for them, then, you know, help your friend, because that's your actual friend too, you know. But just obviously you've got to make sure that the service is the same as the North Face or as New Era, you know, those types of things. So it swings in roundabouts, because you can expect your friends to be able to support you, but you have to back it up with great service and also to be thankful. So when they do it, don't think that they have to do it, because the same way that any other customer doesn't have to do it, you know, you just be like, oh, thank you, I really, really appreciate you doing that, man. You know, it's all about relationships, definitely.
Dope. Appreciate that, Dre. Okay. I gotta come back to what Camille said earlier. I want to get Gen Z's and Camellia's take on this when she said, so if the food is bad, how do I tell her that his food is bad? Camille, you said that you're not telling them. You said, I'm not doing that. I'm not telling them. Good. So Camellia, Gen Z, are you telling your friend with the bad food that the food is bad and you shouldn't? Is that a way of supporting also, Camellia?
I do believe being honesty is the best policy. Going back to our first one about BS people support, but honestly, in this case, it could be to their benefit, because what if they're serving food and be like, nah, this don't taste good, they're gonna lose business off of this. It'll be helpful to get an answer, right? To be like, okay, you should have added a little more salt to your rice, and then it would have fell off, right? Or maybe this is too salty or something, right?
So, Jensine, this is where it gets funny, though, because usually you want to tell the person, but you don't want to offend them, because we don't never think that telling them that something bad is actually positive. How does that mind frame work when you're about to tell somebody that something that could potentially mess up your friendship?
Okay, so here's how it is. If you're on this podcast, I will tell you the truth, because we have that relationship. If you are off the podcast,
thank you.
I buy one meal the first time, and then that's it. I will slowly, like Homer Simpson, back up into the bushes, and I will.
Hey, there you have it.
Just my perception, because what if in their head, the people that serve this food, no, not only that, but they think they are epic cooks. Like, they think that their food is good, and they have, and that's why they went and opened up this business, because they believe that they both need to cook good.
I would say that then, if you open up a restaurant and I'm your customer, we both have to think it's good.
We both have to agree on this. So I think I got to pay for this.
I think that you guys have to tell the person, because they're putting their blood, sweat, and tears into that food truck or restaurant. If their food isn't of standing, be like, hey, listen.
But what about all their other friend. Best friends telling them it's good? It's just me. It's my perception. It's my taste buds. I don't eat that way.
Yeah, but you could
friends equal, are telling them it tastes good.
You could equal 500 people. You see my point? Their friends might be 30 people, and their friends could be saying the same thing and having the same type of mentality. Oh, this person don't like them. The person telling them too much about their food.
Well, you know? my grandparents, they always used to get on me. Like, well, if I ate food, I'm like, ew, this is nasty. They're like, you must say food is nasty. You must say you don't like it because it can be good to other people.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Everything since then, I've always been like, I can't say food is nasty. I can say from my perception because that's my reality. Like, this
door. You play like that.
Jen, jump in.
Thank you. Okay, so I was like, I've been over here just trying. Okay,
itching.
So I'm working on not cutting people off. Okay, that's just.
Didn't you know she's that one friend though?
Inside joke.
What I wanted to say was, you know, Camelia. I support her business, but she opens that door and makes it comfortable. She's like, you are my friend. You need to tell me. And she solicits feedback so she could be better.
Exactly.
That's a good business person. And that's why we're friends. So I can be honest with her. And for the, you know, like, it's very rare that it like, I'm like, hey, maybe you could have added an extra layer of lashes. And it's like, that's the feedback. And then we move on from it. But like, and it's hardly ever that's the case. Food is very subjective though too. So I understand Cammy's point where like there's a lot of nasty food out there and they're national brands and they make millions of dollars and I don't get
it. And they got 4.8 stars on Google and I just didn't taste that.
You didn't taste the 4.8? You didn't taste the 4.8, huh?
I did not taste the 3.8.
Oh man, yo, we're having an amazing conversation here. I'm here with Cammy, Camelia, Jency, Andre. I'm DJ Genesis, and we're having a great time here on The Drop. So before we get out of here, I just asked you about this whole support thing. So Camelia, you feel if Jency goes to another beautician, she'll be cheating pretty much. Is that right? Hell yeah. She'll be
Trying to break up friendships.
And that's like with Jency, because I have like other friends that obviously are not on the Jency level. And if they do go to other lash artists, if they want to go support another lash artist, that's fine. Like, they're allowed to not like me. Jency ain't allowed to not like me. She gotta like me. In fact, she gotta love me. Yeah. Okay, Jency.
Ooh. So Jens, it seems like you're contracted. You're locked in forever. So
I'm over here trying to cause trouble over here, breaking the rules.
Yeah, you. If you go away for a month, you make sure your nails are long and messed up. She gonna know. She be like, you went somewhere.
No, she knows. She can go get her nails done. We talking about eyelashes now.
Oh, eyelashes. Oh, that's where it gets different.
We actually did go through something in the beginning of my start in the business where she did
almost
on me. Well, we discussed it. We got through it, and she knew my feelings. I gave her my perception, which was my reality. And then she had to, you know, apologize a little bit, but it was fine. My feelings were hurt.
That's what's that's how it goes. Jency, you cheated on her. That was a reason.
No, it was a thought. I didn't cheat. It was a thought.
Oh, it was a thought.
You're being a homebreaker right now.
Oh man, so moving on to our next subject. This is Camelia.
I stayed mad quiet when that happened. I was like,
things.
Mm-hmm. Next subject. This is Camille's subject. Speaking about cheating, I'm gonna intro this up. I know a lot of times when it comes in, when you hear a lot of people breaking up in relationships, it usually ends with, "Well, he's no good. She left because she went with somebody else. So he left because of somebody else." But that's not always the reasons why people have to leave relationships. So I just want to ask the crew right now: besides cheating, what is another good reason to leave your relationship? You know, what are some good reasons? Not just you're bored. What are good reasons to leave a relationship that you probably wouldn't have left? And cheating is not a part of it. I'm going to start with Jency.
Okay. So I think that me personally, if there's no growth, if I'm not growing in a relationship, or if I haven't even gotten into the official term of relationship, because that's supposed to be my struggle. If I have a situationship to actual relationship, that's a really good reason to leave. So, but you know, there has to be some growth.
Oh gosh.
Yo, that was funny. She said, I need to get from situationship to relationship. That's where I need to go. And if you can't get me there, I'm out.
That would be a growth for you.
That is growth. There's levels to this, man. Some people walk before they run. Somebody got to crawl before they walk. Camellia, go ahead.
Some people want to stay the side chick forever. They don't ever want to be the main. But anyways, I'm definitely a big believer in, like, you don't have to leave on bad terms. You can definitely leave or break up with somebody even on good terms when you're all doing good. Sometimes, like Jensen, you could grow out of love. Me personally, one relationship that I broke up for was because a number of reasons, but for sure, like, he wasn't bright, and I'm like, I can never reproduce.
He wasn't bright.
Meaning, I know he wasn't bright. Yeah, he wasn't smart. Yeah.
He was contributing to society.
Imagine if I have kids with him and my kids come out stupid. Like, you can't pull that in a Caribbean household.
So you don't want to, you can't pull the kids with the dunce kid in the back with the slow. No, you can't have that.
No, that's not going to happen. Look at Dre. Like, he's like rubbing his face.
Hey, Dre, jump in there. Dre, jump in there.
Oh my God.
Carving him, Dre. Rubbing his
eyes. I can't
believe how many times Dre has, like, literally shook his head. I don't
know. We've been there.
I've been there. I won't say who, but, like, you know, I've definitely been there with the person who used to say, we used to go from a meal. So imagine you're in a restaurant, nice restaurant, everyone's having a sensible conversation. And then the person says, oh, I don't know. You know me, I don't know about these things. And then that was their answer to everything. And you look to your right, like, are you shut up? Like,
that's the reason to leave.
Let me tell you this. If anyone ever catches their partner just staring at them and it ain't lovingly, then that's the time that you get out of the situation.
Yeah, no, sorry.
Oh boy. All right, Cammy, get it in. What's another reason to leave besides cheating? Yeah.
They lack ambition. They themselves don't grow. Not necessarily I have to grow because that's on my own individual goals. But for them, like, if they are fine being stagnant, that's an issue. And you get annoyed by it. Stagnancy.
Mm. Stagnancy, okay.
Yeah. Complacency, for sure.
Complacency. Yeah. Jen?
Yeah. Complacency.
Mm-hmm. I think besides, like, growing apart, sometimes if, like, I'm growing and they're, like, downgrading, because that can happen too, where you're in a relationship. I just see the judgment. I feel like y'all judging, but
true. No, the reason why I'm mad at y'all coming with all this boring stuff. I'm waiting for somebody to be like, the sex is terrible. Something like that. Something, you know, he cheap. You know, what happened to that?
I was going to get to that.
We're going to get to that.
I want the good side. I don't want, I'm growing. He's not growing. I went on a date. This dude, he was
Maybe she ain't never had no bad D in her life. Maybe she ain't never had no bad D, so she can't relate to that.
That's a lie she told me about a couple.
Yeah. I know she has.
Okay, well, thanks.
Look at Andre's face.
She's like,
you know, we had to, like, cut ties. I'm like, okay,
it wasn't one of the main reasons.
Yeah,
it was.
I want to know what's going on. I'm trying to hear the girls being like, yeah, dude was lame.
Like, it was at the first time, and it just progressively got worse and lazy. So, like, you know, you gotta go. I'm still putting in.
So, how does that conversation happen when the reason you're actually leaving, dude, is because the sex is bad? How does that happen? Do you make up a lie? Do you try to see if he's better, or you tell him straight up?
Make up a lie.
Why are y'all saving these guys, man? Why are y'all saving these guys?
One sister at a time.
Them because the sex was so bad that, like, I'm just not going to care about you, so I don't need to worry about your ego or make you better in life. I'm just going to be God.
Well, I don't plan on being with you long. Like, that was my first impression.
So what about another chance? What about another chance, Camilla? Yeah, you can get to know me. I could do better.
No. I've given you another chance. Can't come back. I have. You know, there's like different type of sex too. There's drunk sex, there's high sex, passion. If they can't do any of those, it's like, no.
What if they're fumbling and awkward or prop down or something?
You can't help that. You
can't help that. You'll feel
this.
Jensine, jump in.
We always do this.
We're all trying, Jensine. We're all trying to.
Thank you. Thank you for this therapy session. Appreciate it. No, but you know, like if it's bad, then you know, like, and you feel like it's a turnoff. I mean, it's been a turnoff. So I'm just going to disappear. I'm just going to go be a ghost because we were in a situationship, or maybe we didn't even get to the situationship. So you're not going to really miss me if I leave.
All right. I'm going to flip the question on y'all girls. Have you ever stayed in a relationship because you should have left, but the sex was amazing? You was like, I got to keep this riding, but you know, this dude, it probably ain't going nowhere. So you prolong the relationship a little longer than you supposed to. Because, you know,
I've personally never done that, because for me, being in a relationship with somebody is more than sex. Like I said, I can't stand stupidness. Like, you know, I can't do it. So
I see two heads down.
I can't stand
I see two heads down in the corner. What? So we're going to get to them, Cammy.
You don't need me just to be about sex.
Jensine, Camilla, I mean, Cammy. Jensine, Camney, it's all of a sudden it got quiet, Andre.
Mine quiet now.
I'm here.
All right, Dre. So what's a reason to leave without the cheating aspect? What do you think?
I mean, I also dating a girl. From a guy's point of view, I know I'm gonna get in trouble because I'm always sticking up for the guys, but there's sometimes when women are lame at sex too, where they just lay there. And you're just like, oh my God. Like, obviously, trust me, there's no situation that a lot of these guys or a lot of us guys have been in that are very similar. And you're just like, oh my God, how do I get out of this? Like, you know, you make up excuses. You're like, oh no, I've got work, or I fell asleep downstairs and all that stuff just so you can avoid it. But do guys give more chances?
Because I feel like y'all do. Y'all don't have first impression sex, stop. From the next time, I feel like you give like 20 chances.
I must say this: we're more likely to be stuck with the stupid person, you know, and stay with the stupid person because the sex is great. So if the sex is great, you just lose your mind. You have a battle between your mind and your dick, and you're just like, are you like I can't, like, you know, I you know, you've got limited amount of things you can speak to that person about, and you think, oh, that's it, I can't do it anymore. And then the next morning, you're like, okay, I can't do it anymore. Like, you literally, it's addictive, you know. So it's the same type of thing that we have. But I was gonna, you know, I'm famous for my audibles, and Chris, forgive me for this, but I was gonna ask this. Like, Chris and I had a conversation during this week, and then we was actually asking ourselves this because we saw a little video of a guy who was definitely hurt. Chris knows what I was talking about, and him and his friend decided to throw this woman's clothes all over the on the street. Because she's clearly cheating. I was wondering that, you know, when, as we're talking about breakups, like, who do you guys feel takes the breakup the worst, the guy or the girl? Like, you know, I'll start with you. Chris, like,
a cheating breakup.
I talk about Tanya.
So cheating. Who handles it worse?
Let me answer, since I have the guy. Overall, I think the guy, from society, even in our soul, that's why I think sometimes females either are way stronger than us or they just crazy, because women get their heart broken 10 million times up and down. So I almost think sometimes, is it a facade? Because when I got my heart broken, it hurt, you know? And I see girls going back and forth talking about, yeah, this is the third time he broke my heart. I'm like, how hard is your heart? They keep going back and forth. Bro, they keep going back. The girl that broke my heart did it one time, one shot. I've seen girls be with the same dude back and forth. Same dude, he broke my heart again. She go back. I don't understand that particular aspect.
Gorilla glue spray.
for their heart.
Oh, because they heart cold. So I think, guys, because we can't take it and we don't take it as often as women, yeah. This is just what I've seen in the past, it's harder for us to take the heartbreak. It's harder for us to now go ahead and trust the woman that broke our heart. Mm-hmm. Because when we do that, we as men actually have given our all. We've actually opened up. Our nose is open like the highway. You could drive a Mack truck through it. So when that types to get slammed down and gets disrespected and stepped on, it's almost like from a guy, this ain't ever happening again. So
yeah, because that guy was
We know. Y'all turn into heartbreakers.
Yeah, we turn to heartbreakers. Yeah. We turn to whores. We don't care.
And then, we good people to get punished for it. We know mm-hmm. the pattern.
So it is a pattern. Mm-hmm.
I would say that guys probably take it harder because I've seen some guys do some crazy stuff. Like you guys will say that women are crazy, but I've seen guys act up like they're crazy. And then also they have, since they're quote unquote hunters, they can also be very stalkerish, and stalker plus crazy does not mix.
So Jen, is that to your point of the breakup or the fact that he got cheated on? The cheating mm-hmm. aspect is what make him go crazy, or the breakup part?
I've seen just the breakup because I'm not a cheater.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
That's
my personal.
I think it's an ego thing. Men's egos are like, they're everything. It defines mm-hmm. them. And it's not the guy breaking up the girl, but it's the girl breaking up the guy, that's definitely going to take a toll on his ego.
It's like, what?
I do want. Is my penis too small? Was my stroke game whack? Like, if I'm questioning all this stuff, you know? But
it
really
was
like
your
game
rocked us. No, I'm just kidding. Is there little signs that is coming, like, you know, from a breakup from a girl? Like, you know, is there certain things
I feel like happen? I feel like there were definitely signs for me before I did my breakup. I feel like there was definitely signs for me. Like, one, like, I didn't have sex with them. I stopped having sex with them. I didn't really care too much about their feelings. Like, oh, I had a bad day and I wasn't really trying to hear it. Like, honestly, I'm like, and I knew at that point, I'm like, I need to break up with this person.
Yeah, checked out.
I completely checked out. And I'm like, well, I don't have to be in a fight with them to break out. Let me break up with them on a good terms. And I waited till we had like a normal conversation. But like, hey, look, actually, I was at a different point in my life too, because I was at, I was at the point where, like, I need to start traveling. I want to start doing new things. And I know money is going to be an issue for you. And if you can't keep up, and I don't want to always have to pay for you, like, you know, I think it's best to go our separate ways. So that's what
I broke up with a girl at Bonefish Grill right before. But that's all we got this week for the show. We're going to talk about that next week. You know, yeah, I took her to dinner. I fed her and I was like, yo, over. I want to thank the crew, the Drop Crew, Cavity, Camellia, Jency, Dre. I'm DJ Genesis, and we are out. We're going to catch you in 2 weeks. We're going to wrap up everything and all things poppin'.